copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
My dear wife, Margaret, was supposed to talk about media literacy and its role in mission engagement. I could probably have done something on that, but I chose to rather to present something of a broader kind to give us a background to the whole concept of this network and of why we are here together. And I would like to keep it a bit mysterious why I've chosen to call it Mission in 3D for a couple of moments. But I think it's interesting to think the following question. What is the role of media in mission? What is the role of media in church renewals? What is the role of media in church history even? And here is a very quick overview from the Reformation to today. Of course, just picking three aspects. It would not have been any Reformation without Gutenberg. That's actually something that church historians, history of ideas people, and other people say. And it's this convergence in time between the Reformation and the printing press, the invention of the movable types that Gutenberg did. And I heard a really fascinating lecture earlier this year about Luther as a publisher. You know, we think of him as a reformer, but he was in very many ways a publisher. So he was one of us. You know, he was a media man. He was. It's impossible to imagine the Reformation without the printing press. He was probably the first non-official person producing literature of great influence after the printing press was invented. There were many publications coming out of, for example, the Catholic Church, but they were official publications. He was an independent publisher working. So all of us who enjoy working independent in some way or another may be encouraged by the reformer. If we then jump forward to the the around 1920s, we find that the history of Christian mission, of course, from the Reformation until that time, is closely bound up with literature, with the spread Bible distribution. And there will be one session this week with Ramez Atallah from Egypt, General Secretary of the Bible Society in Egypt, previously Vice Chair in the Lausanne Movement globally. And Ramez will share about the distribution of the Bible, which is part of the media history of the church. So that's one interesting link to the Reformation there. But going back to the 1920s, 1930s, the role of media and television became, well, radio first and then gradually television some decades afterwards, became really important. And Christians, evangelicals even, have been pioneers in using new media when it came on. Thinking about important players like HCJB, the voice of the Andes, very important. Rudolf Fehr from Transworld Radio, very important. We could think of FEBA, FEBC, and a number of other key players around the world that has played such an important role in ministry. So linking, the importance of the Reformation and the importance of media to that. But the last 10, 15 years or so has changed the situation, as we all are aware of, with the kind of what we used to call, some years back, the new media, which is no longer new in a way, but it's creating a new context where everyone has access to the media. So we talk about the democratization of the media. We are all becoming both consumers and producers. What does that mean? One very interesting thing for us to think about is, I think you probably have all heard about the concept, the priesthood of all believers. You know, Luther's and the others' concept that we are all priests. Isn't it interesting? We are celebrating the 500th year anniversary of the Reformation. And that concept may at this very time be very, very significant for understanding how the whole church can and should engage with the media in various ways. So what does it mean that the body of Christ engages with media? That's a very interesting question. Now back to the mysterious phrase, mission in 3D. You know, a three-dimensional thing both has a length and a width and a depth dimension to it. And this is actually, from the foreword, I do think, Julia Cameron, I think you had played a little role in the writing of that foreword, I think it's appropriate to say, even though it's signed by Doug Bertzel and Lindsay Brown, I think you were very influential in writing that. So, and there it's a very significant phrase there, which comes from Lindsay Brown, who used to be the General Secretary of IFES and then became the International Director of Lausanne and now works with Foyer in Europe. He says, what was the point of, in this case, the Lausanne 3 Congress, the Cape Town Congress? Well, it was to present, to bring a fresh challenge to the global church. What was that challenge? To bear witness to Jesus Christ and all his teaching. Remember John this morning mentioned witnesses? That's a very key concept in Acts. Bearing witness to Jesus Christ and all his teaching. And then it continues, in every nation, in every sphere of society, and in the realm of ideas. And it's my suggestion that we have usually been thinking about mission along the first axis, so to speak, along the length dimension in every nation, which is as important today as ever. But we need to increase that to also encompass the width dimension in every sphere of society and the depth dimension in the realm of ideas. That is mission in 3D. So what does it mean then to bear witness to Jesus Christ and all his teaching? Well, we could have gone, if we had time, for example, to John 5, where there is a very important passage about Jesus talking about what is the role of different witnesses. You may remember that the witness of the miracles, the witness of his teaching, of the Father, of the Spirit, and so on. And then if we go to Matthew 28, to the Great Commission, we find something reminiscent of the second part there, and all his teaching, you know, teaching all that I taught you, the Great Commission. And we could go to many other aspects, dimensions of the biblical with testimony here. But I think what is important here to briefly touch on five areas here. This understanding of Christian mission as bearing witness to Jesus Christ and all his teaching is first of all Christological. It's gospel-centered. It has its focus on Jesus. You know, in Christ alone, we sang yesterday evening, you know, one of the great truths of the Reformation as well. So to bear witness to Jesus, it's Christ-centered, it's gospel-centered, it's gospel-focused. Secondly, to bear witness to, in one sense, it's the teaching dimension, but it's also beyond the didactic dimension, the whole communication process. And I think this network is called Media Communication Network, isn't it? So there is a very explicit link here, you know, to what does it mean to bear witness in the communication sense of that word. I think we could spend the whole network just exploring that aspect. What does it mean to bear witness in terms of all the aspects of communication? Thirdly, to bear witness to is a concept from the court. You know, we call on witnesses to appear in the court. And you know, apologetics is, as a concept, is the concern about truth, the truth of the Christian faith, the Christian gospel. And that has its background. Apologia is a concept from the ancient court. If you got an accusation against you, you have the right to present an apologia, a defense. So it's a focus on truth. But to bear witness to is also something that is concerned with the whole of life. We don't just bear witness through our words, we bear witness through all our lives. We cannot separate word from life or life from word. It's both. And I think sometimes, you know, we tend to land on one of those, but it has to be both. It's a holistic understanding of word and life. And then finally, there is something I think implicit in this about the integrity of the message. You know, integrity means integral, that holds together. There is something that needs to be safeguarded in terms of the wholeness of the message. Think about John presenting this morning about the whole panorama sweep of Acts, touching so many dimensions. And I think we are touching on something here about the whole wholeness of the message, but also the wholeness of the messenger, and protecting both the integrity of the message and the integrity of the messenger. And I think that's an area where the integrity of the messenger is very challenging, is in the area of media. In so many ways. And I'm sure we'll touch on that in many different ways. So, these are the five dimensions, and there are probably more, that is implicit in the concept to bear witness to. If we then continue to the three dimensions, in every nation, that is what I would like to call the length dimension of the Christian mission, that we are called to cross cultural boundaries. You know, that's the history of the Christian mission. It has crossed cultural boundaries. And that is still the case. But of course, today, Christian mission is from everywhere to everywhere. You know, someone said earlier it was from the West to the rest. Now it's from everywhere to everywhere. And this means that this year, for example, we are privileged to have so many international leaders amongst us. We will have three of them presenting. Rudolf, Ramesh, Atala, and Finney Philip will be presenting to us from outside the European context. And we need that understanding, that global understanding. But if we think of it in terms of cultures, we could ask ourselves, who are the most unreached in the classical sense of mission, if we think of it culturally in our own context? Not just language-wise or nation-wise, but culturally. Is it possible to think in terms of sections of the youth culture, in terms of the academy, for example, in terms of secularized urban people, maybe, or whatever, or new people coming in from other parts of the world in Europe, migrants? I don't know. You know your context. But I think it's really valuable to ask that question, all not to forget the length dimension of the Christian mission. Secondly, we have the width dimension. The point that we are all called to be bear witness in every sphere of society, which means that Christian life and witness touches all of life in every arena. And we think, if we think of the body of Christ as a total, as a witness, and I think we have often reduced witnessing to those professionally involved in communicating the gospel, whether it's, you know, ministers, pastors, youth ministers, missionaries, whatever it is, or voluntary positions within the church arena. But we need, I think, to broaden the perspective to bear witness in every arena and every role as holistically understood. Which means, of course, that if the body of Christ is mobilized as a body, that's huge potential. But if it's not mobilized, we are not doing what we should do in terms of equipping the people of God. Remember, we talked about the forum is uniting, equipping. I think that's a really important dimension. And I think this third dimension, you know, the depth dimension, has often been underemphasized as well in Christian circles. Where are the ideas shaped in today's world? Well, to a large extent in the educational world, in the academic world, and in the media world. Whether we talk about the news media, the documentary media, the entertainment media, the creative media, the social media, ideas are being shaped, ideas are being formed, ideas are being communicated, ideas are influencing people. And are we there to bear witness on those arenas where there is a question about the realm of ideas? I think that's a really key question for us. Moving then from this to media engagement, we've already touched on this, that the first area of media awareness and critique is what we in the Lausanne Media Engagement Network has called the forgotten dimension of omission often. We sort of jump over the first obvious question: how does media affect all of us as users and consumers? Secondly, I wonder how many sermons have you heard about calling, also including journalists, also including people moving into documentary media, you know, talking about the appropriate place to serve God in the everyday life of mainstream media. Thinking about back home, we work, some of us, you heard, at a university context where we educate journalists. And I sometimes ask myself, there are 7 mission organizations behind our college, but have they really understood the importance of being salt and light in the ordinary world of many people? And we don't need to point any fingers, just need to ask, are we communicating that in our teaching, in our communication, the importance of salt and light? Thirdly, every Christian ministry is becoming a media ministry. I don't know if you've been reflecting on that, but I think that's increasingly so. We have specialized media ministries, of course, but more and more, each and every Christian church, organization, institution, ministry is becoming a media ministry. And that is often, you know, sometimes also felt as a threat to the classical, traditional media specialized ministries, because suddenly everyone is on the same turf as they are. But could we think in terms of partnerships? Could we think in terms of serving different niches? Could we think in terms of complementing one another? And just 3 brief snapshots here before going into groups here. The first snapshot is about Example one, from media awareness and critique. One of the most influential evangelical speakers, writers, whom I'm sure many of you are aware of, is Timothy Keller, Redeemer Presbyterian Church on Manhattan. This is a quotation from one of his most recent books called Making Sense of God, An Invitation to the Skeptical. He says, "The background beliefs that our culture presses on us about Christianity make it seem so implausible. They are absorbed." How? "Through the stories and themes of entertainment and social media." That's what Tim Keller claims. And if I may be so courageous as to suggest that he hasn't got it quite right, say that it should be broadened to include also the news media, the documentary media, the creative media. It's not just the entertainment and social media, as important as they are. And they are assumed to be simply the background beliefs, the way things are. They are so strong that even many Christian believers, perhaps secretly at first, find their faith becoming less and less real in their minds and hearts. Most of what we believe at this level is therefore invisible to us as belief. I think that's a very insightful comment, that we are being influenced, affected by the background belief of our culture. And we will also touch on that. And that illustrates the need for taking these background beliefs seriously, the need for taking media awareness and critique seriously in a very definite sense. When we move to the second area, media presence, we could talk about many different things, but I've just chosen to highlight one very specific ministry. Some of you are very aware of this. Julia Bicknell, she was in BBC for, worked in various roles in BBC for, I think, 30 years. A very seasoned journalist. And she's, some years ago, she was asked to start a new organization within Open Doors. So it's not the public relations department of Open Doors. They have their own information public relations department. This is an independent organization working with news within a mission organization. I think it's quite interesting, you know, adventurous, and not without its challenges, I would suggest. But they have dedicated themselves to covering religion and conflict globally. If you don't receive their updates, it's worth receiving. And they base their work on classical journalistic principles. I think that's very encouraging. You know, here is a group of Christians seeing the value of journalism, the value of journalistic principles, and then bringing that into the wider world of the media. And they are being increasingly quoted by so many also mainstream media increasingly. I had the privilege of meeting Julia just a couple of weeks ago, by the way. And you see the quote there, "We strive to be the most trusted and consulted source of news about Christians who suffer for their faith." And I'm sure we are all aware of that. Christians are the group being most persecuted for the faith today among each faith communities, every faith community in the world. That was media presence, and just a quick glimpse from media ministries to highlight that what we didn't used to think about as media ministries is now becoming media ministries. And one of the most influential apologetic ministries in the world is Reasonable Faith with William Lane Craig. I'm sure most of you will be aware of his very influential work. And I don't know if you have followed him the last year, how much that is of his newsletters that are concerned about the role of the media within the organization. And I just quoted from one. I mean, this is not revolutionary, but at one level, but the revolutionary thing is that also a very non-media organization like Reasonable Faith traditionally is becoming a media ministry. So they have staggering increase in numbers, both in their website, in their Facebook page, in their videos on YouTube. And when they now go on tours, for example, they use direct broadcasting or streaming through Facebook, for example, which is when reaching increasing number of people. And I think we need to ask ourselves, what does that mean? Many, many Christian organizations' missions are not prepared for the democratization of the media. They need us as media people alongside to equip and to encourage and to guide.